with, but finally landed on this one. Anthony, am I on okay? Pardon? I'm switched. Green light. All right. You know, you can have pain. I'm going to use an illustration in the scripture that speaks of a physical healing. But how many of you realize that a lot of the pain that we experience in life, the physical just doesn't rank up there a whole lot? I mean, it's, amen. For some it does. Some have chronic pain that they have to live with, and it is literally a pain, you know. But others have emotional pain, relationship pain, financial pain. Okay, so I want you to think for just a moment and lock on in your brain probably the most significant or the most current, the most real pain that you've had in your life recently or may still be having in your life even as we talk. Can you just take a second and lock in on that? And if any of y'all have trouble, talk to Pastor Paul. He'll give you one of his, and you can you can use that. You know, pain basically falls into two types. One is destructive pain. It comes from evil. It kills, steals, and destroys. But there's another type of pain that is productive pain. It's the type that God has designed you to feel. It's the type of pain that you have when you're birthing a child. It is a productive pain. It leads you into purpose and productivity. Now, I think part of the reason that I've struggled so much with the word today is because I believe that today that what God wants to share is going to be a prophetic, profoundly prophetic word for some of you sitting here today. Because I believe today is going to be your day to walk out of pain. This week will be your week to walk out of some pain. It may be not a physical, and it may be physical, but it may be emotional, relational. So the teaching is not the profound thing. I really believe at the end, the prophetic declaration is going to be what is really huge and really important. All right, with that said, that's my intro. 1 John chapter 5, you'll recognize this, the Pool of Bethesda. You remember the story? Let me read it to you. There is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude who are sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. I think this is just unusually strange but interesting. They're waiting for the moving of the waters, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons, would stir the waters, and whoever was first would get healed, made well from whatever disease with which he is afflicted. Now, I struggle with that theologically, I have to let you know. I mean, why God doing that just for one person and all the rest of you, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. You're too slow, you didn't make it. Anyway, it says a man who had been ill for 38 years. Now, how many of you are not 38 years old yet? Few of you, that's even, okay. Been sick longer than you've been alive. And when Jesus saw him there, lying there, knowing that he'd been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" I wonder what that guy thought. And the sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water stirred, but while I'm coming, another steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your pallet, walk." Cool. Immediately the man became well, picked up his pallet, and began to walk. All right, you know the story. Now, to me, that is an incredibly profound story for just a whole lot of reasons. Man sick 38 years, waiting by the pool for 38 years. For 38 years, he'd watched people get healed. Then all of a sudden, Jesus comes along, and he says, "Sir, do you want to get well?" Now, how many of you that appears to you to be a seemingly stupid question? I mean, why is the guy hanging out there for 38 years if he didn't want to get well? But it's a profound question, and here's why. Many people go to the healer, but they go without hope. They actually come to the pool of promise. But the hopelessness actually reduces them to a pallet of pain. The truth is, people go places and never really anticipate that they're going to get better relationally, emotionally, financially, physically. In other words, they have learned to, and here's where I'm going to hammer this morning, they've learned to accommodate their pain. Some of you are living in situations, painful situations, where you have learned to accommodate your pain. And Jesus is going to walk into the midst of your circumstances, and he's going to say, arise, take up your pallet, and walk. Yeah. Yes. So I want to ask you a question. How long have you learned to live with your pain? How long have you learned to live with that emotional pain, with that broken relationship, with that financial situation? How long have you learned to live with the bad habit in your life? Has it been there for so long that you don't really even entertain it? You don't pray aggressively on it anymore? Praying to get healed, praying to get delivered, praying to have a breakthrough? Has it been there that long? You've just resigned yourself to cope. You got a few coping mechanisms that enable you to endure the pain. And of course, you're at the pool with others who are in pain. Y'all smile at me when I talk this way. This is good. You know, misery loves company, doesn't it? And then somebody has the gall to come and say to you, do you wish to get well? Now, this morning, I want to inspire you prophetically. I believe that today, for some of you, that this week, that this month, that this year, for some of you, is your 38th year. I believe it's the time that your pain is supposed to go. How many of you know you can't always help what happens to you? Right? I mean, life happens. But you can always help what happens in you. Y'all okay with that? So this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. So I'm going to ask you again, to ponder again, to lock hold in your mind. How many of you experienced a significant area of pain in this past year? I want you to lock on something so that this can be directed specifically, not generically, into your life. I don't want it to become another, thy word have I hid in my notebook that I might not. I want it to be something that you apply that targets an area of your heart today. While we're thinking about the pain, let me give you a little rundown. Frequently, pain is camouflaged as anger. Some of you really need to hear that. There is such a quick time between stimulus and response. It can be a microsecond that you think you have an anger problem, when the fact is somebody touched something that is an area of pain in your life, and your real problem is not an anger problem, it's a pain problem. And until you deal with the pain, anger's going to hang in there. Oh, you can manage it, anger management. I ought to make a movie by that name. But the anger's not going to go away. You'll spend the rest of your life managing it until you deal with the pain. That's a really good point, Bob. I like that. That's good. And in the midst of pain, we also frequently experience fear. Where anger is focused at the present and the past, what is happening, what has happened, fear is focused at the future. I'm afraid it's going to happen to me again. But just like anger, people learn to accommodate their fear. I'm afraid to fly, so I don't get on a plane. So I don't feel the emotion of fear. So you reduce your life, you restrict your life to accommodate your fear. Are we okay? I've probably encountered people dominated by fear more than any other singular emotion. Whether it's fear of failure, whether it's fear of rejection. And they have found a way to cope, found a way to medicate, found a way to numb their life so that they can go on. So there's one thing I need you to understand. You cannot walk out of your pain, title of our message. You cannot walk out of your pain if you avoid it. I'm sorry, I wish I could say to you, you don't ever have to think about it again. We can just put a big old block over it. We can white it out. We can redact it. No. You cannot walk out of your pain if you avoid it. You actually have to step into your pain before Jesus can actually heal you. Okay, you note takers, let me give you a couple of introductory notes, although that I've already given the introduction. Pain is not always the problem, it's a symptom of a wound. Pain is not always the problem, it's a symptom of a wound. Number two, pain will lead you, will reveal the source of your problem if you let it. Pain will lead you to the source of your problem. I'm giving you a minute to scribble those things down. Number three, the level of your pain does not always determine the depth of your problem. How many of you have ever had a little paper cut on your finger? And it hurts like the dickens, doesn't it? A little sliver of metal gets stuck in your hand. Produces incredible pain, but it's really not a big deal. Here's a fourth truth you need to remember as we talk about walking out of your pain. Ignoring the pain frequently leads to deeper problems. It's like a toothache. Instead of going to the dentist, you just take some ibuprofen. Pretty soon you end up with dentures. Pain actually points to the problem, and ignoring the problem is not the answer. You know, it's kind of like taking a piece of tape and putting it over the engine light that comes on your dashboard rather than taking your car in to be serviced. Frequently, people go into the emergency room and they're asking for pain medications. I just need something for the pain. And the doctors are reticent to give it to you. We really can't give you the pain medicine because the pain tells us where to look. What's the origin, the source? So we're dealing with symptoms and wondering why our lives are getting worse and worse. So, let me say a couple of things about how to walk out of pain. You ready? The first one is probably obvious to you. Number one is to trust God. How many of you think trusting God with your pain is important? Yeah. Can I give you some help with the trusting God part so that it doesn't become something that's ambiguous? Trusting God begins with a conscious trust connection. You decide and focus your thoughts and your heart on Him. I choose. Trust is a choice. Faith is a process. Unless you're using it in a noun form. So I make a choice to trust. Secondly, now I've taught this to you before, but it would serve you good to stir it up by reminder. Faith brings answers, but it doesn't bring all the answers. That's why we need enduring faith. James 1:1 says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So faith brings answers, but it doesn't bring all the answers. That's why you need enduring faith. A third thought, enduring faith brings answers with character. And while you're waiting, while you're enduring, let me give you some thoughts to ponder. Delayed answers from God are gaining interest like money in the bank. Sometimes there are things that need to happen in your life before God can actually bring the answer. So it's like gaining interest in the bank. Here's another thought to ponder while you're waiting. When God says no, it's only because he has a better yes to follow. When God says no, it's only because he has a better yes to follow. And here's a last thought to ponder. When a pain that you have, you've trusted God, you've been enduring, when it makes it through those two stages, the faith stage, the enduring faith stage, it's time for you to remember, all things work together for good. If they're not good yet, it's not time to quit. Can y'all smile? Can you lock in on that? So what's the point? The point is, when I'm in trouble, when I'm in pain, the first thing I'm supposed to do, go to God for help. God, I'm in trouble. I choose to trust God. Make that choice to say yes to God. By the way, do you know what an idol is? A little off track, but you'll see the application. You know what an idol is? It's anything you have to check with before you say yes to God. I like that. Anything you have to check with. Well, I got to check with my spouse. Oopsie daisy. So the first step on the pathway of walking out of my pain is I have to grab onto God, and I say that this pain is going to have a promise on the other end. All things work together. All things work together. So this pain is going to have a promise on the other end. Let me apply it. You never go through a pain in your life without there being a promise, a purpose of God on the other end. That's what that all things work together means. Are y'all good with that? That's Romans 8:28. I have to remind myself, this isn't the pain I'm going through is not the last chapter in the book. Everything works out for good in the end. So if it isn't good, it's not the end. By the way, I didn't write that. That's I borrowed that from the Bible. So if you're in a trial, if you're in a painful circumstance, emotion, relationship, God's trials always come with a purpose. And that purpose is to work out good in your life. I hope you're able to kind of let that soak, marinate. So I want to say to people in this room, if you've gone through the pain of a broken relationship, a divorce, or whatever, you're going to love again. I want to say to the people in this room, if something's happened in your family, your children have left, they're going to come back. I want to say to people in this room, get your hopes up. Come on, get your hopes up. You say they've been gone for 10 years. I don't care if they've been gone for 50 years. This is the 38th year of the man at the Pool of Bethesda. This year, this date, you declare over your own life, my son's coming back, that relationship's going to be healed. The pain that I have, I'm going to get prayed for again and again and again until wellness and health comes. How many of you, a little sidetrack, how many of you know that physical obedience frequently brings spiritual relief? Are you okay with that? How many of you remember the story of Joseph? Youngest brother, gifted, bragged a lot to his brothers. So they dealt with their younger brother with severity, sold him to some Egyptian merchants who took him, sold him in Egypt. Eventually, though, his favor caused him to rise into a place of prominence with Pharaoh. He became the governor in charge of the granaries. So during the famine, the brothers come to Egypt seeking some grain for their family, but providence put them before Joseph, and they didn't know it was him. I think that's really cool. God kind of blinds their eyes. They don't know it's him, but he knows it's them. Finally, he discloses himself to his brothers. They begin to weep and cry, and they said, man, we're your servants. And Joseph responded, listen to what he said. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. That's Genesis 50:20. So trusting God in the midst of your pain is the first step of walking out of your pain. Y'all okay with that? Let me give you number two. If you want to walk out of your pain, you have to first step into the pain. Trust God, step into it. That means stop avoiding and stop medicating. By the way, avoidance and medication only lengthens the time in your pain. Hate to say this to you, but you have to allow yourself to feel the pain. Why? Because many times the source of the pain is different than what you think. And remember, we stated at the first that pain frequently will lead you to the source. If you deny and medicate, you're never going to get to the origin. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can endure it? Do you hear what the verse is saying? Why would the Holy Spirit include this comparison? How the spirit of a man handles sickness and how a broken spirit handles the same. Remember 3 John 2? Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in health. What's the last phrase? Just as your soul prospers. Do you hear the connection between your heart and your physical health? I can apply that emotionally, etc. There are times when the source of pain is different than we anticipate. You think you know what it is, but you got it wrong. I remember one time I was praying for a lady. I was trying to think. It may have been here in Brazos when we were doing some meetings. But I prayed for a lady, and as I was praying for her, I saw this big spear in her back, and the spear had the word betrayal on it. Now, we were praying for physical healing for her back. So I whispered to her, you know, I when I do these, I pull my microphone off so people can't hear. But I said, I see a spear in your back, and it says betrayal. And when I said the word betrayal, she began to weep. I mean, really loud, you know, the wail type of weeping. She said, yes. So I said, okay, we're going to pull that spear out of your back and your back's going to get well. She said, what do I do? I said, nothing, just stand there. So I grabbed this invisible spear and I pulled it out of her back. And she wrenched with pain as if a real spear had been pulled out of her back. She began to cry even louder. And I whispered to her again, I said, you okay? She said, yes, the pain's gone. So then I began to talk to her about forgiveness and trust and bitterness. I didn't accuse her. I just said to her, you know, is there anybody you need to forgive? What am I doing? I'm making sure another spear called bitterness doesn't get end up in her back. Because I don't know how it got there. But sometimes, you know, we invite those things. Not always, but sometimes. My point is this, sometimes the pain is rooted in things that we really don't understand. And if we spend all of our time trying to medicate and cope, we don't get to the origin of that pain. We just prolong the time. Are y'all okay? Y'all smiling on the inside? Okay. Let me give you number three. How do you get out of the pain? First, you trust God. Number two, you have to step into the pain, quit avoiding, quit medicating. Number three, this is really huge too, guys. Really got to, you got to say, stop ministering to it. Stop developing a culture around you that accommodates it. Just like the man at the Pool of Bethesda, he was hanging out with other sick people. Misery loves comfort. Proverbs 25:20 says this, like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, like vinegar on soda, is the one who sings to a troubled heart. What does that mean? That means when you're in a relationship pain, don't sit down and turn on Bridge Over Troubled Waters. I just dated myself, didn't I? I'm saying what you listen to matters. When you're in a time of pain, don't put on a song about your misery. You know, don't put on a song that ministers to your pain. Put on a song about victory. put on a song that tells your pain, pain, you're not welcome here. Don't make your pain feel welcome. I love Proverbs 25:19. Like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in time of trouble. What does that mean? Okay, y'all listening? You really need to hear this. Sometimes you have to ditch the people that are around you. Did you get that? Because they're not helping you. In fact, they're taking you down even more. But we like being around other miserable people because it makes us feel normal, doesn't it? No, it's not normal, it's common. I'm playing on words. I'm a teacher. I can do that. Cancer may be common between two cancer victims, but it's not normal. What's normality? The kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's normal. According to God's dictionary, when he looks up normal, he sees righteousness, peace, and joy. I have a theory. Not tested it yet, but I'm going to one day. That if you come to a gathering, especially a social gathering, and say you have 100 people and you put two gossips in the room, before the end of the night, they'll be in a corner talking to each other. I don't need to comfort my misery. Come on, guys. I don't need to hang out with other miserable people. I need to hang out with happy people. You know, you're depressed. What's the last thing you want to do? Get up and go to a party. What's probably the thing you do need to do? Get up and go to a party. I'm not talking about drinking. I'm talking about a place where joy can be infused. Where there's electricity and fun in the air. Okay, if you don't have enough money and you're broke, I mean, you're really broke. You're broke. Your father's broke. Your uncle's broke. Your cousin's broke. Your dog's broke. You know. What type of people do you not need to hang out with? You need to be around people that know that they have power to make wealth. Come on. I don't need to hang around people who comfort my misery. I need to hang around people who confront my misery. Oh, that's a good one. It's normal to have seasons of trials. But don't allow your pain to become a lifestyle. You know, if you're doing anything for God, you're going to experience seasons of warfare. Is that true? But remember, Psalm 23 says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't build a mansion there. Keep walking. I lay down in green pastures. Okay, now you can build a mansion. Take a nap there. Still waters restore me. Okay, that's where you want to go. But in that valley, keep walking. Frequently when people tell me they've been really in a season of warfare, I say, how long? They say, I've been experiencing this for about 17 years. No. That's not a season. That's a lifestyle. When you're in a lifestyle, you know how you know if you're in lifestyle? You've gathered around you other people that are in the lifestyle. Y'all all know each other. You go to the same home group. Come on, guys, that's good. You know, when we are in pain, we're around other people who don't have the pain, we tend to kind of get offended and angry at them because they don't have the pain that we have. Or we begin to generate all sorts of excuses. So all I'm saying to you, if you're going to get out of your pain, if you're going to walk out of your pain, don't feed the pain. Make it uncomfortable for your pain to stay. Emotional, physical. Lamentations 3 says, my eyes bring pain to my soul. So not only what you listen to, don't listen to Bridge Over Troubled Waters, but also watch out what you're watching. Don't sit down and watch the stupid soap operas or whatever. I mean, start watching things like, you know, Old Testament action movies. I like it where the bad guy I don't know if I ought to say that. You know, when David prays in one of his psalms, he says, "Break their teeth, O God." I like that. So when I'm in an area of pain in my life, be careful what I listen to. Be careful what I watch. Be careful who I gather around me, because I don't want to make my pain comfortable. Be sure your pain isn't coming to have dinner and to stay over. Tell pain, "Food really isn't good here. You don't want to stay in my house tonight. The beds are really hard." Okay, I want a culture around me where my pain is not comfortable. It's not welcome. Come on, guys. I believe you can do that as a family and as a church as well. After Jesus was raised from the dead, disciples are fishing. They see him on shore. They don't know it's Jesus. They see this man on shore, and he yells them a question. He says, "You know, you caught anything?" They yell back, "No, we've been fishing all night." Now, let that sink in for a moment. Been fishing all night. He says, "Cast the nets on the other side." Now, do you really think they haven't already cast the nets on the other side? I mean, come on. Fishing all night? You try every option there is. Each side of the boat, the front of the boat, the back of the boat. You nearly want to get out there and just swim along with the nets and see if you get anything. What's the point? Here's the point. Sometimes it doesn't take a new action. Sometimes it just takes a renewed action. You need to do it again. And again. Sometimes it's just one more prayer. I've already had a guy pray for me. It didn't work. We'll have someone else pray for you. Pray for you again. Yes. And again.
Yes.
Yes. Y'all okay? "But at your bidding, we'll do it again." And they did. So I want to say to you prophetically, some of you just need to do it again. You've already prayed so many times. I mean, you know, I like it. Bill Johnson says this. He says, you know, you have a lifetime pass to the altar. You know, you're always up there praying. The Lord says, you know, why don't you do it again? I believe that today is a do it again day. You stopped just one time short. Why'd you do that? Do it again. I really do feel like this is a day, week. I'm not sure the period of time, but I believe we're in a window moment. Bible uses the word kairos. It speaks of a window, a defined amount of time. I don't know what that amount is. It could be a day to day. It could be a week, a month. You know, but I believe we're in a defined amount of time where God is saying, this is your day. You're supposed to walk out of your pain. You have pain in your life, and you reduced your life to accommodate the pain. No longer do you dream the dreams you used to have. So the Lord's saying to you today, take up the pallet, promise. It's the 38th day, time to move on. You know, I'm sure the guy at Bethesda could have gotten offended. Take up my pallet? Flip him off. What are you talking about, man? I've been here, you know, how long have I been here? 38 years. How many of you realize that when God tells you to do something that's difficult, you have a choice to get offended or a choice to realize that every time God speaks something to you, within that word he says is the grace necessary to walk out that word? Did you get that? When God says something to you, within the word that he speaks is found the grace that is required by you to walk out that word. Take up your bed and walk. Lord runs into Joshua. Joshua's hiding, afraid. First thing the Lord says, don't be terrified. How many of you have ever really been afraid, fearful, terrified of something? Does somebody telling you don't be afraid really help? Men and women, we have to build cultures around us, community around us, where our pain is not welcome. I mean, I love to hear testimonies. Why? Because in my spirit, man, and even verbally, it rises up within me, man, if he did it for them, he could do it for me. If he did it for them, he can do it for me. Okay, I'm through. Are y'all okay? Does this kind of make some sense to you? You apply it however you want to, physical pain, emotional pain, relational pain, financial, whatever the source of that pain is. That's why I wanted you to lock it in, focus on it. So that then when we begin to apply this, it's not abstract to you. It's just not a great little truth you hide away in your notebook. I want it to become something that is actually prophetically liberating to you. Okay, come, stand to your feet. Please, ma'am and sir. If you came with someone, take a hand of the person you came with. And I want you to just kind of whisper this out loud as a confession. You know, I'm leaving my pain behind. This is a day of deliverance. This is a day that the Lord is delivering me from the things that have plagued me. My family. Even for generations. This is the day that the Lord decrees that I'll walk out of my place of misery. So that misery no longer affects and infects my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I want to leave a legacy of hope and peace and breakthrough and healing. Let that be our lineage. I want to live in a culture that feeds me, where my pain is not welcome. So today I declare is the 38th year. It's a day of walking out of pain. Let that be my strength. Let that become my identity. This is a day of promise on the other side of pain. Now I want you to pray for whoever's hand you're holding. Lord, give us the strength to give them the strength. Give them the grace to declare from the depths of their heart, this is their day of deliverance, whatever that pain is. And Father, today we receive the grace. Lord, give them the grace to walk out that pain, walk out of it. I'm not going to hang on to it, not going to listen to it, not going to hang around, see things that make that culture of pain comfortable. I'm declaring, pain, you're not welcome here anymore. You're not going to be comfortable. Oh yeah, I have to go through pain, but I'm going to make a choice to trust. I'm going to exercise my faith, and I'm going to keep enduring so that I'll use enduring faith. But when all that still does not bring the answer that I need, I'll remember that God causes all things to work together for good. And until it becomes good, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm not going to become comfortable. I'm not going to sit down in the middle of a thorn patch. I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow to a place of green pastures and fresh water. So, Father, I declare over this family, individually, family-wise, church-wise, I declare this is the 38th year. It's a day of take up your pallet and walk. So in that area, whether it's physical, emotional, relational, financial, whatever it is, that form of misery and pain no longer engulfs you and holds you tethered to defeat, to depression, to anxiety. So what do you need to do? I need to receive that. What do you need to do? I need to watch what I watch what I listen to, watch who's around me. Are they people that keep me comfortable in my misery, or are they people that confront my misery? In Jesus' name. Look at me for a moment. Y'all okay with that? Does that make some sense to you? You're kind of quiet, you know. But I believe with all my heart that that's really significant for some of you here it will be a life-changing for you. Because today you've realized it's time to get out of your misery, take up your bed and walk. Quit making it comfortable. Go on the offensive. Quit sitting, placating, passively coping. Get off your butt. It's my translation. Love you guys. Really appreciate being with you. Pastor Paul. Oh, gosh. Thanks, Bob. Man.
All right. That's good. It's good. It's good. Bring that into your week. Our daily prayer. God, we need you. Texas needs you. The U.S. needs you. The world needs you. Amen. All right. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Go blessed. Enjoy your Sunday.